industry. If you knew what a segue was, that'd be funny. Right, Tim? Fido Dog Food Company was on the verge of going bankrupt. Stuff was just not selling. So the manager of the dog food company called an emergency meeting. All the employees showed up, all the executives, all the salesmen. It really was a life and death matter. The president of the company said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible emergency here. Our product is not selling, and we must find out why in this session today." He called on the producer of the dog food. He said, "I want you to stand and tell us what you're putting in that." So this man, who was brilliant in the area of putting food together that was wholesome and nutritious, said, "I don't know. We're putting in the best ingredients. We do not scrimp. We buy the best product that you can buy to put in Fido dog food. We work hard at it. I don't understand it. The nutrients are terrific. It ought to make a dog frisky and energetic and live to be 1,000. I don't know." Little man stood up in the back. He said, I know why it isn't selling." And the president said, "Who are you?" He said, "My name is Smith. I'm the janitor here." He said, "Sit down. You're out of order." Now he said, "I'd like to have the sales manager stand. Sir, why isn't this stuff selling?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "We have hired the finest spokesman to represent us on radio and television in the world. I don't know why it isn't selling. Our commercials have won every award for promotion in the world. We are better than Wendy's. I don't know why it won't sell. We have spent millions to get people acquainted. People are familiar with our product. We don't understand." Little fellow stood up in the back again. He said, "Excuse me, sir, I know why it isn't selling." He said, "Sit down. What do you know?" So he went to every department head he can find. Nobody had the answer. Finally, somebody piped up and said, "Let's hear from the janitor." Said, "All right, sir, stand up." So the custodian stood up, little old thin, wheezing man. The president was really steamed about it, and he said, "All right, sir, you've had the audacity to say a profound thing here. Why isn't Fido dog food selling?" And the janitor said, "Because dogs won't eat it." Story really appeals to me a great deal. Not only because I think it's funny, but because I think it's very profound. The thing about that song the Lincoln sang that was so moving was that it was about Jesus. The Bible says that if Jesus is lifted up, and I know that it means primarily on the cross, but by double reference also, if he's lifted up before the people, he will draw all men unto himself. So why do we talk about anything else except Jesus Christ? No other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, to kind of set the tone for what I want to speak to you about tonight, let me sing one of Gordon Jensen's great songs. We have some tremendous songwriters in the Assemblies of God. "When Jesus is manifested in a form of need, every place around you almost inundates you, the need people have." About a year ago, I met a fellow out of the East Coast whose name is Mike Linder. It was a strange meeting. I met him at a minister's institute, kind of like this one in South Carolina. He came up and he said, "Hello, my name's Mike Linder." He said, "I've just entered the ministry." And I said, "Nice to meet you, Mike. Where are you from?" He said, "Death Row." Said, "What?" Felt like Rodney Coleman. "Say what?" He said, "Death Row." I said, "You mean you're a chaplain?" He said, "No, no." He said, "I mean I was an inmate. I came within a few days of dying in South Carolina's electric chair." An amazing story. He had emptied a .38 police special into a state patrolman and killed him. when the patrolman was trying to arrest him on a narcotics possession. Terrible thing. And through one of the most bizarre sets of circumstances that I have ever seen, Mike found Christ in death row. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on death row and was actually released. I have very ambivalent feelings about that. I believe life is a bit more sacred than that, and I've said so to Mike. But he asked me to write his story, so I wrote it for Revival Time in a little book we call Death Switch. An amazing thing has happened. That book has become, as you might expect, although I didn't, a very popular book on the death rows across this nation because it offers hope to people. And I'm receiving a lot of mail from men on death row. And I get a lot of mail, but I don't know of anything that shakes me like mail from men who are facing execution. I believe in capital punishment very strongly. Didn't used to until I became a newscaster. And in those 10 years I spent as a newscaster, I became a firm believer in capital punishment. And I think it's a very strong biblical situation. So I've never pulled any punches on that with these men with whom I correspond on death row. But I'll tell you, when you get a letter from one of them and he asks for your help, either spiritually or physically, it'll cut your heart out. Every place you go, on any level of ministry, you are faced by enormous need. And that's why we can never accept business as usual. Why we can never accept mediocrity in the cause of Jesus Christ. We must be about our Father's business. I never know who's going to be in a radio audience. I never know who's going to be in a service where I'm speaking in a church. I'll give you an illustration of that. One of our presbyters met me at the airport in Chicago not too long ago up at O'Hare. We were driving out to the hotel and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, have you ever heard of an attorney by the name of, and he gave me the man's name, extremely well-known criminal attorney in the United States. Very well-known, probably one of the five or six best-known attorneys in the world. I said, of course, I've heard that name. Very famous Jewish attorney. He said, I was in the courthouse the other day with somebody from our church needing help, and he said, I ran into this man in the hall. He said, I recognized him because I'd seen him on television many times. And I walked up to him and I said, excuse me, aren't you? And he called his name and the man said, yes, I am. And he said, well, my name is Reverend So-and-so. He said, I'm a pastor of a church. And the attorney said, what church are you affiliated with? And the presbyter said, the Assemblies of God. And this incredible attorney said, well, that's very interesting. He said, have you ever heard of a radio broadcast named Revival Time? Thankfully, the presbyter said yes. He said, why do you ask? The attorney said, I listen to it here in Chicago every Sunday morning. I never miss it. He said, my family is so adamantly against anything that smacks of Christianity because of our Jewish tradition that he said, I, just to keep peace in the house, I leave the house at 8:30 every morning, get in my car, and drive along the shoreline of Lake Michigan. And I listen to that broadcast. He said, I don't think I've ever missed it. He said, Reverend, I do not understand everything that's being said on that broadcast. I really don't, but there is something about it that is magnetic. He said, I should get very hostile about the mention of Jesus Christ, but I don't. There's something about that message. It's fantastic. He said, for one thing, it's really simple. Now he said, I don't know what I'm going to do about this man, Jesus Christ. But if I accept him as the Lord of my life, it's going to be because of a broadcast named Revival Time. Now, he told me that a few months ago. I cannot walk behind that microphone any time anymore without thinking about that man. It puts terrific pressure on you. or about the congressman who gave his life to the Lord, or about the man who writes me from Guyana in the jungle, or about the mail we get from China, or Italy, or the letters we got last week from Paris. It absolutely blows you away. You say, what has that got to do with me? Because the people to whom you minister every Lord's Day and every Wednesday or whenever you have service have just as great a needs where they are as the people who are listening to the radio. Amen. And you must effectively lift up Jesus Christ. That's why preaching has to be a top priority. I believe the top priority in your life. Effectual preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I want to go back into the book of Luke again, and I'm going to read some more of that fifth chapter. And I'm going to get into some more of the nuts and bolts that we talked about this morning in the area of media. Using media in the ministry right where you are. I want to read again, beginning with verse 12. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. It came to pass, when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face. Get that image in your mind. A man on his face, overwhelmed by life. And besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him. This is where we stopped last night. And he touched him. He touched him. Saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness. And he prayed. Somebody asked Billy Graham at our NRB this year, National Religious Broadcasters, if you could change your life, what would you do differently? And Billy Graham said, I would preach less